What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Brooklyn Boxing Podcast. I'm here with heavyweight Adam Kovnatsky from Brooklyn. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I know we were talking earlier. It's good to hear everything is good on your end. And I hope you're staying busy and getting some workouts in, trying to stay sane during this quarantine.
Yeah, for sure. Ordered a heavy bag, so it's gonna be supposed to be here on Friday. First thing I'm gonna do is hang it up. I have a treadmill, a pull-up bar, so I'm just staying fit.
Awesome, man. Yeah, you got to do it. I've been working out a little bit myself and trying to stay busy, and that's good to hear. But yeah, to jump into your story a little bit. Obviously you're a Polish fighter. You have an amazing fan base behind you, especially with all the Polish people in Brooklyn. But you were born in Brooklyn, or born in Poland and moved to Brooklyn as a young kid. But, tell us a little bit about, Poland as a kid, your family before you moved over. I'm sure people would be interested and sort of your beginnings over in Poland.
So I was born in Warsaw, Poland, which is a little town in northeast Poland, about 2 hours northeast from Warsaw, 60,000 people, so relatively small. When we were seven, my parents won the Greek lottery, and they packed their bags and came to the States. So me and my brothers have a better life, a chance of, because, American dream.
You said they won the lottery?
Green card lottery.
Okay.
It's like refugee, I guess, kind of like, but they don't let everybody in. Like, you got to sign, like, write a application in and why you deserve to come. Because Poland was still a developing country and wasn't that great. So that's why people apply for this stuff. And we're lucky enough to win it.
And when you came over to Brooklyn, were you in Greenpoint right away? I know that's kind of your base, but.
In Greenpoint, for sure. We had a family over there, so it was much easier to settle in. And it's Little Poland, or was Little Poland. I mean, now it's not, but that Polish soul is still there, you know?
Yeah, it's like when you moved over, did it really feel like you moved? Like, I know it's such a strong Polish population, so I imagine as a little kid, maybe it didn't seem so different.
I mean, a lot of kids actually spoke English, so it was kind of tough. I got, teased a little bit for speaking the language, being a little bit overweight. But my dad, like, still doesn't speak English that well, or even at all, I could say, because you could take care of everything in Polish. So, like, where he worked to getting paperwork done, everything was Polish. Ordering food, Polish meat markets, Polish church. So you didn't really get to speak English.
And the Polish, they have good food, so I can't I can imagine in Greenpoint you guys probably had all the good spots, right?
Yeah, it was a lot of restaurants. I remember, a lot of them are out of business right now, but it was great. It was like little mom and pops restaurants open.
Yeah, and then as a little kid in Greenpoint, like you said, with immigrant parents, they're working a lot, and you wanted something to do to stay active, right? And I read a little bit that you originally got into karate.
Yeah, so karate was, I think, the first organized sport that I played. Well, that was the junior Knicks, the junior Mets, the local YMCA. But karate was the first sport I wanted to do. Like, growing up, watching movies with Bruce Lee and Van Damme, like Bloodsport and Enter the Dragon. I mean, I always loved fighting, So I wanted to do karate. But karate was like very self-disciplined, and there was not a lot of fighting. So it kind of drew me out. I always liked the sparring and that stuff, but there wasn't a lot of that stuff. So
how long did you stick with karate?
I was a young adult, so maybe like half a year.
Okay. So pretty quick experience with karate, but you enjoyed it?
Yeah, but for a little kid, it's a long time.
right, true. Was that part of, I guess, from karate? I know you didn't start boxing till some years later, but clearly that kind of must have stuck with you, right? In terms of combat, you enjoyed that aspect of the one-on-one sport via the team sports that you were also playing.
Sure, like the ball's in your hands when you play basketball. I mean, when you fall. Where in basketball, you have a teammate that you got to support on, and sometimes you're not the best player, so you don't really get the ball that much, you know? All you can do is, like, hustle, but I like being, like, the main guy, you know? And the boxing, I was able to do that, you know?
Yep. And then, you know, moving along in your story, you eventually come to boxing, and I know you started out at Gleason's around the age of 16, and your career kind of took off from there in terms of the amateur, but I don't know if there's any backstory prior to that in terms of why you got into the gym and why you went to Gleason's.
I actually started off training in Astoria, Queens.
Okay.
It was called Combined Martial Arts. I had started over there. I went there for maybe a year. And then I went to high school in Coney Island, in Abraham Lincoln High School. Yeah. And Gleason's gym was better on the way because I could just take the F train to Gleason's gym, work out, and go home. So it was a better commute. And Gleason's gym was the top gym in New York. You know, all the great fighters and everybody trained there, you know. So you got all the great stories. And that's why I also chose to go there.
So originally, when you were going to Gleason's, was it for boxing or just to stay in shape?
I was for boxing. I really wanted to box, fight, well, do as much tournaments as I could. The first tournament I entered was the Metros. I made it to the finals. Then it was the Golden Gloves. And then I won the Golden Gloves when I was 16 years old, just turned 17, which was pretty cool. Like, I was, you know, a high school kid. In the finals, I remember, I fought a teacher, and I was in high school, and he was a phys ed teacher somewhere upstate.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say at your school.
Upstate. So I dropped him twice, too. Like, I put him on his behind twice, so it was pretty cool. Like, an MSG, you know, 5,000 people watching you. It was great.
And then did your family go to that as well, or was there already a Polish fan base forming around you?
Yeah, so I have fans going to my fights since my first JO fight, which I had two in Astoria. It was like five people, then that five turned to 10. Then by 10, the Golden Gloves came around. There was maybe 50 people, you know, depending on the event and where it was. Yeah. So like in the finals, there were 50 people coming in, coming out and supporting me.
And once you know, you won that Golden Gloves, obviously that must have been an amazing feeling, you know, as a young kid, winning an MSG like that, and like you said, putting a teacher on his butt a couple of times as a young high school kid must have felt kind of good. But then in 07, go ahead, sorry.
I stayed up the whole night after that night.
And then so in 07 and 08, I know you, you know, you were the runner-up in the tournament. So I thought that was kind of interesting that, you know, you won and then you were a runner up for a couple of years, but then in 09, you came back and you won again. So, you know, in those years where you were runner up, one, who did you face, you know, that beat you? And like, what was your emotions going through that? You know, did it just make you that much more hungry for that 09 year?
Yeah, for sure. Those years I fought, Tor Hammer was Nay Aguilera. And second year was Tor Hammer. Both fights, I lost 3-2. So there were like split decisions. So it was kind of a lot of people saying, oh, I thought you won. I thought they should have gave it to you. But it's amateur boxing sometimes. And overall, scoring system sometimes a little bit confusing. Nobody really knows how to score it. So I lost two close fights. But then I was hungry to win it again. And in my final year as an amateur, I won. I beat Devin Jones. AKA Beast from Gleason's gym. We both trained with James Stonewall, our country, in Gleason's gym. So, I won the gloves that year and then said to turn pro.
So you turned pro right after the 09 Golden Gloves?
Yeah, but I think I had my first fight a little bit later, like towards the end of the year, just with the transition and stuff.
And at the beginning of your career, you know, still, of course, fighting out of Brooklyn, you're starting to build that Polish fan base, that rabid base, that is so, you know, it's so great seeing today, especially at Barclays, a sea of red. It's you know, really quite the scene. But early in your career, when you're still building that up, a young guy in boxing. And I know that you got some great sparring experience, although, you know, you dealt with some injuries with Vladimir Klitschko.
Yeah, Vladimir Klitschko, he was, but before that, I sparred like everybody, Gleason's, Torres Sykes.
Yeah.
Has a crazy professional record and career. A lot of guys that I sparred with. So Derek Rossi, Rossi, also not a good guy. So I was able to get a lot of sparring. And then when I came back from my injury, I got a chance to go out and spar with Vladimir Klitschko, which was a totally like amazing experience, seeing how he runs his camp and how he does it, which was like, that's where that was like, oh, that's where I want to be in the future. And hopefully have my camp the way he had his camp.
Like those experiences with Vladimir, for a young kid, I mean, that must have done a lot for your confidence, right?
Yeah, I mean, I did good, you know. I saw guys getting dropped. I didn't get dropped. I handled my own. It was great, you know. Unfortunately, I just came up from injury. So in the second day sparring, I threw a left hook and I tore my left bicep. So I had to go back home. But then they called me back again when he had another fight coming up. And it was great. Like, I did very well, and it was a great learning experience.
Yep. And I know Klitschko, like, obviously such a legend of the sport. So I can't imagine, you know, as a young guy early in his career, getting that experience and like you said, not getting dropped. It must have gave you a lot of confidence. But to kind of circle back, I know, you know, at the beginning of your career and kind of at your start in boxing, a guy that really kind of inspired you was Andrew Gullotta, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, watching him fight when I was coming up, when I came back here to the States, I remember like people just gathering around and like watching him fight, like the atmosphere he brought, like, oh, it's so cool. Because in Greenpoint, it was like a lot. Most of the people I knew were blue collar workers doing construction or, you know, hard labor jobs. And then you had Andrew Gullotta, who made a living boxing. I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, you could make money in different ways than just hard work. I mean, you still got to work hard, but you can do something less challenging or stuff that you don't like construction. So it was amazing to watch him and also watch like the support he got from a Polish community.
Yeah, and with Polish boxing, you know, Artur Spilka and is another guy. Of course, you know, Gullotta, as we just talked about, and you're kind of carrying the torch now. But what's the scene like in Poland right now for boxing fans? Like, how much attention is there on boxing? And I'm sure, you know, the people back in Poland, I'm sure they love you, but is it big there amateur wise, or what's the scene like?
The amateur is not that great right now. The professional rankings are not doing that great. You have a couple fighters that are like on a world level, but a lot of it's kind of like not in the best spot right now, you know. Hopefully it'll pick up. But the Polish fighters are very good, but something's missing. I don't know if it's the trainers or the promoters or the amateur system, but something's missing.
And were you aware of any boxing when you were in Poland as a little kid? I don't know if your dad or anyone was involved in the sport or a fan of the sport.
I had older cousins that taught me how to fight. I mean, but then my grandfather always used to like pack a bag with hay and hang it up for me to hit with my hands. And that's pretty cool.
That's like
old school basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah, like old school basketballs with horse hair. And we used to like put it on and fight in my cousin's house. So that was like really cool memories.
Did those old school training methods, it's kind of like that Rocky setup in the barn with the hay and the and lifting the wood and everything.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it was cool. Like, I think about it, and like, it was so cool. Like, basic stuff is something that really makes you happy.
Are you kind of getting back to that now that we're in the quarantine? Maybe you're, I know you were upstate, and you're probably getting those Rocky vibes, right?
I was running for sure, so I was staying active. I had a bike there too, doing my push-ups, pull-ups, off trees, you know. It was fun. Also, like, I bought a piece of property up there, and hopefully I'll be able to do my next camp up there. So, like, open up a little base
I'll have to come with a camera crew, and we can do a little Rocky montage for you, training in the woods and getting in shape for your next fight.
For sure. I'll make like a little big bear on the East Coast, you know? Like,
yeah, that'd be awesome. That'd be really cool. So with your, that rabid, well, first of all, actually, I wanted to ask too, were your parents, as immigrants to the country, and I'm sure there was a lot of uncertainty around, their future, and they obviously wanted the best for you. When you were jumping into a career as a professional fighter, what was their initial opinion of it?
So turning pro, I had an option. I had some big promoters in New York, the one who signed me, Lou DiBella, offered me a contract. I chose maybe go by myself. So me and my family, we sat down together and we made a list of the pros and cons of every choice. And we decided to, try to do it by yourself, by myself. So I remember calling up promoters, saying they'll put me on. I would sell tickets, and I was able to get two fights down like that under my belt. I forgot his name. Oh, O'Shea Boxing from Yonkers that put me on his first two shows. And then a Polish promoter from Royal Boxing started like his journey with boxing, and I had two fights with him. But I broke my hand, and then I was out for 2 years. And then through Thomas Adamek, I was able to get a close relationship with Main Events. And then I fought on their couple shows. And then I turned to Al Heyman. Al Heyman gave me a call. And I think that was the best decision I made, signing with PBC and Al Heyman.
Yep. And then your career really took off from there, and you obviously – you have a lot of great wins on your resume, some recent ones with Areola and Gerald Washington, Charles Martin, another really quality win in the heavyweight division. And all of them were at Barclays in front of your people. Of those three fights, could you pick one that was really stands out to you as maybe your favorite fight or favorite moment from those matchups?
Yeah, it definitely has to be Joe Washington. I mean, that came out in two rounds, showing that I won the belt next, because Deontay Wilder was in the stands. And then announcing to the world that my wife is pregnant, which maybe two or three people knew that she's pregnant. Like, I think my trainer knew and a couple of guys at the gym. And then my parents didn't know, my brothers didn't know. So everybody found out over there that I'm going to be a dad.
That's awesome. And is your it's a boy, right? Your son?
Yeah, Kaz.
Yep. He's a year old, or about a year or two old now. Wow, that's awesome.
Smile, but a lot of stress. I'm losing hair. I think by the time he's two, I'm gonna be bald. Naturally bald.
And, so I imagine making that announcement. So no one knew, your team didn't know, and nobody.
It's just my training, because my wife hit him up. She's like, listen, should I tell him or should I tell him? She's like, yeah, you should tell him, because you might be giving fits. You want to know what's up. So she told me. I came home one day after the gym, and she had my shirt on, the baby face shirt, with Junior on the belly. I was like, what's this? She's like, pregnant. I was like, oh my god, so cool.
Yeah, wow. So your trainer knew before you did.
So yeah.
So you obviously have that good fighter trainer relationship.
Yeah, I mean he's somebody I really look up to, and I think he's a great trainer, you
know? Oh yeah. 100%. It's so important to have that relationship on your team. So that's a funny story, man. That's pretty cool. Congratulations on that. It must be fun to have a son running around.
Yeah, it sure is. That doesn't keep you bored throwing this up.
And yeah, man, that's awesome. So, of those three fights that we just mentioned, obviously you picked that Washington fight, and Areola, that was an awesome fight as well. because he just brings the action, and so do you. You don't take a step back, and you know, those are really three awesome fights at Barclays in front of your rabid fan base. I feel like it grows with every fight. What do you feel about fighting in front of no fans? You know, there's a lot of conversation with, of course, the UFC has been having events with no fans in the crowd, and they've gone pretty smoothly. Eddie Hearn over at Matchroom and DAZN, I know he's talking about some things. I'm sure PBC is considering it. So if they were to do that and give you an opportunity to get back in there, what are your thoughts on fighting in front of a empty stadium?
So, I mean, I fought in March just before all this happened. Like, I think my fight was like the last major boxing event before we went to shutdown. I mean, unluckily I lost, but this quarantine gave me a lot of time to think and like look what mistakes I made. But fighting like without no fans would suck. Like, especially knowing the army I bring, all the red shirts, the chanting, the flags they bring. I mean, I'll miss it. Like, it's part of like me, like who I am, and it's awesome. But boxing also happy when blows. So if that's what I have to do, if I have no fans, I mean, then so be it. You know.
Yeah, and is there any sort of timeline on that? I know like the PBC and no one set out, and at least in the boxing world, you know, no one has set any firm dates or any locations where it could happen, but I just got to imagine that at some point there will be an announcement and, you know, they're going to make some fights at some point. So would you be up for something towards the end of the summer? Or I guess like how soon would you be willing to get back in?
Yeah, I'm still waiting. So some people like call from like different countries, but I'm not getting on a plane because I'm not gonna risking being sick. And then like I'm also with I think one of the best promoters right now with PBC. I mean, you fight on Fox with such a huge fan base and stuff. But I feel like everybody's waiting for someone to make the first move. I mean, UFC made it. They had the shows in Florida. So I feel one of the boxing promoters is going to follow soon after, and we'll see what's going to happen.
Yeah. And I guess in your comeback fight, you know, obviously, you know, your last fight didn't go your way. Were there any things, you know, that you've drawn from that, you know, you're going to change going into your next fight? Or I guess what really went wrong there for you in that matchup with Helenius?
I was like, cool, a good right hand. I mean, coming in, he pivoted out and caught me. Definitely knocked him down a slip, but it was definitely a knockdown. The way I fight, I felt my pride was hurt a little bit, and then I came forward instead of maybe taking a step back and trying to recuperate, because that was good right hand, you know. And he followed up with a three-punch combo, put me on my behind. I got up again, and then he just do a lot of shots, you know, and the ref thought I was hurt and ended the fight. So,
but
it's part of the game, you know. You win some, you lose some. You obviously learn from your mistakes, and hopefully you get a rematch when we go again, and I can prove that was just it wouldn't happen again. It was my mistake.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean,
I was even at the scorecard. I was up four. I think on one post, I was up 4-0, and the other one I was up 3-1. So I was definitely in control of the fight. It's the big boys, you know. We have a lot of power behind our shots, and I just got caught with a good shot.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, when I was watching the fight, I would agree with the judges. You know, you were really kind of controlling the fight and seemed like you were really pressuring him. And, you know, you have such a good chin and you're able to take so much. So it was surprising to see that result, but I have no doubt that, you know, you'll come back even stronger. And, you know, I'm looking forward to whatever's next. If that's going to be a rematch, or, you know, whoever else it is, you know, really in that top 10 ranking, whoever the next contender is, because obviously you're still very much in the picture for a title in the near future. And, you know, I'm excited to see that because there's so much movement and excitement in the heavyweight division right now. Obviously, Fury just beating, you know, Wilder. and giving Wilder his first loss. Ruiz already gave Joshua his first loss. So, you know, there's a lot of movement and a lot of potential matchups in the future. So I was curious what your thoughts are about like the landscape right now in the division.
It's great. Everybody has a loss, so nobody will try to like protect the record. And I think that way all the best fights will be made. I mean, the heavyweight division, I feel, is stacked right now. I mean, there's so many great fights that can be made. Like, on top of my head, you have Fury, Joshua, Wilder, Ruiz, White, me,
Pulev.
I mean, you have the young guys, Joyce, Toyoka, right?
Dubois.
It's packed. So much great fights can be made. I think it's great to be a boxing fan, especially a heavyweight boxing fan. I think a lot of the fights will be made, and can't wait till the SmackDown is over and you can finally get going, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's an exciting time, like you said, for the heavyweight division. And not to say that it's good that everyone has a loss, but my point is that, you know, boxing fans are – what's that?
Has a draw.
Right.
My good friend, Joe Miller. shout out Baby, you know?
Yeah, shout out Big Baby. You know, he's another guy right in the mix. So many guys that can be challenging for titles soon. But the point that I was getting to was, you know, so many fans are used to, they're kind of stuck in that Floyd Mayweather, I don't want to see anyone take a loss. Kind of mindset where, you know, it doesn't really create the best fight. So it's good to see that in the heavyweight division, the division that carries boxing, that the best are fighting the best and the fans are still very interested regardless of losses, because we all want to see all of you guys at the top fight each other, because there's so many interesting matchups, so many different styles. With a guy like Wilder, you know, obviously under the same promotion, I guess, like, how do you see matching up against a guy like him? Obviously he's got devastating power, but, you know, after watching that Fury fight, did you draw any things that you could maybe take with you in a potential matchup against him?
I think, bringing the pressure to him will cause him a lot of problems, but then, like you said, that right hand is a game changer. So, I feel it's a great matchup, and you just wait and see who has a better game plan and who will execute that game plan better.
Mm-hmm.
That's why everybody's talking about the third match with him and the Fury, but he has that big right hand, so he can't see Fury with that big right hand. I mean, it's good night. He did put him on behind twice in his last fight. So, the first fight, so...
Right.
It's the heavyweight division. One shot changes everything, which I had to learn the hard way.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the similar, you know, story with Ruiz and Joshua, of course, at MSG, which was like another iconic moment in the heavyweight division that really sparked a lot of life into the division, honestly, because it created some disparity and added another guy into the mix. And, you know, Ruiz is another guy that's looking to come back from a loss, and I was wondering maybe if that's another matchup that you might like.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I want to fight the best. I want to prove I'm the best guy out there. So I want to take on all the challenges, you know. But hopefully, like, I get a rematch first. If not, I really would like somebody from the top 10 to get back in the mix and prove that I'm one of the top guys.
Yep. And when you get back into training here, are you going to be back in Brooklyn, or are you going to really focus on building that sort of camp like you talked about upstate?
I train in the Belmont Kickboxing Academy in Long Island. I grew up in Greenpoint, but I live out east. So I'm going to train out here for like the first basic camp, and then I'll probably try to go somewhere for camp. If the place upstate will be ready, awesome. If not, I would just to probably go somewhere else. But with the kid and all the like extra activities, I definitely want to go to camp and just be focused on boxing because I think that's key. And if I want to achieve what I want to achieve, which is being a champion, I got to be dedicated 100%.
Yep. No, I think everyone is looking forward to your comeback. You know, you're obviously such a fan favorite in Brooklyn. You have the Polish crowd behind you, and you know, everyone's drawn to you. So I can't wait till you make that comeback. I'm looking forward to it. And you know, I want to make sure everyone listening and watching goes and follows you on all your social media accounts. If you want to shout that out, I know you got Instagram, Twitter.
Aki Babyface. But just like you said, like even though I'm Polish, I was raised in Brooklyn, New York. So I think I also have a big following of New Yorkers following me and being supportive.
That's true. I just you always remember the sea of red at Barclays, you know. So it's just like you know, it just feels like Poland is in the arena. But that is so true. You know, you're a Brooklyn fighter.
It's a Polish passport for me, I guess, right?
Exactly. So yeah, but like you said, you're a Brooklyn fighter. And, you know, all of New York is rooting for you in the heavyweight division. You're our guy, so we want to see you do well. So I can't wait for your comeback. So go follow him on Instagram and Twitter. And I can't wait to see what's next for you. You know, thanks a lot for coming on and talking a little boxing with me today.
Thank you for having me on.
Appreciate it, man. So everyone, go check out this interview at the Pod Matrix on YouTube. Follow me at Brooklyn Boxing Podcast on Instagram, and this will be dropping soon. So can't wait for you guys to see it. And thanks again, man. Appreciate it.